G'day you mob, how's it going? I'm Pete, this is Aussie English, and this is another episode of The Goss, where I sit down with my old man, and we chat about the week's news, current affairs, everything like that, whether in Australia or the world. And the whole point of these episodes is that we get to sit down, we have a conversation, you know, there are multiple people here speaking English, Australian English, and we get to talk about all kinds of different topics to help you guys widen your vocab and improve your listening comprehension, and hopefully chat about some interesting topics that you are, interested in, fascinated by. So, today, we sort of give you a bit of an update on COVID. In Australia, we talk about some pretty selfish behavior by some people who had COVID in Melbourne and they went into regional Victoria. And also, you know, the draconian rules, the lockdowns that we've had in Victoria and how we feel about them. You know, are they really strict? Or are they doing the right thing? Is Dan Andrews horrible? You know, we talk all about that. So, without any further ado, guys, smack the bird. Let's get into it. So, you got Idiot of the Week story to start with.
I have my Idiot of the Week story to start with, and this is Idiot of the last 2 hours. Sorry, I'll read this one.
And it doesn't include me, who just forgot to hit the record thing. So.
No. Well, that's general.
Idiot of the moment.
Idiot of the moment. Two cases of COVID in regional Victorian town of Kilmore, which is about 100 and something kilometres just north of Melbourne, after a Melbourne resident visits while infectious. For fuck's sake. Like, seriously. You're not allowed to leave Melbourne. You're not allowed to go 5 kilometres away from your own home.
Yeah.
The only way you can leave Melbourne is to get a permit under special conditions to do it. If this person, I don't know whether it's a he or a she, if this person is infectious, clearly they know they're infectious.
How do they know? Were they someone who tested and were waiting to be to get their results, or they knew that they had COVID, or they just happened to have it and then ended up going there?
It's such new news.
Because that would change it, right? If you knew the person had it, or if they knew they had it, and then they just disappeared out into regional Victoria. Mm. But yeah, it is troubling because
whether they knew they were actually infectious or not, they were an employee. Like,
they're not allowed
of an
to move.
Existing hub anyway that they knew. So, yeah, idiots.
But, the interesting thing is we got our numbers down to less than one, right? We're at like 0.2 or 0.3. I take it that's going to bump it up to 0.45 or something, you know, for the average, not by much.
We were tracking at 0.1 on a two-weekly average today.
Yep.
So,
case every 10 days.
Yeah, two people means that it's now going to take us another 5 days to get back to 0.2, 0.4.
And how's Melbourne going? What's the reason that we had 15 cases today?
15 cases today, which is the highest, equal highest for a few weeks.
But the average is still dropping.
Yeah. Well, this will bump the average over again. Tomorrow, the average will be higher, funnily enough.
How do you think, while we sort of, you know, beat this dead horse, how do you think this is going to go? Are we going to get into a third wave in Victoria?
We will if people are stupid.
Yeah.
And I'm
sounding
angry.
But that's the problem. That's the problem that we have such a big population. There's always morons,
yeah,
no matter where you live.
You've got a population of 5 million people. Even if there are 100
of
them,
a handful.
And frankly, there'll be 100,000 idiots. You look at what was happening with beaches in Sydney. Now, Sydney doesn't have the lockdown that Melbourne has, but they still have wearing masks and social distancing. And Sydney, like Melbourne last week, went through a heat wave is probably an exaggeration, but seasonally it is. It was some of the hottest weather that we've ever had in this time of the year.
It wasn't abnormal in terms of the maximum temperature. It was abnormal in when it occurred, it was the first weekend.
And it was school holidays.
It was really warm and people had a reason to go to the beach.
And, some of the big beaches in Sydney had tens of thousands of people on there, and there was very little social distancing. Even those who were trying to social distance, what do you do if you go away on the beach and you go, all right, I'm a couple of metres away, I'll camp here, and then somebody comes and splits the difference, it's just crazy. So waves are a statistical analysis afterwards as to whether you've got a wave or not occurring, but it will take a lot longer for this to disappear when you only need one or two idiots, because now we've got two extra cases. We know about those, like it's those two can quarantine, but were they quarantined? We've got to now case track those. You know, go back and look at who they were involved with, who they were working with, seeing, or whatever over the past time since they were potentially infected. So it will take a long time because people are selfish and stupid. And look, I understand the frustration. I mean, we've been through it ourselves of, you know, and we've been a little lighter in the restrictions that we've had than Melbourne has had. But yeah, you know, we've spent 6 months with various restrictions, more than that.
To the point where we couldn't visit each other.
No,
we
exactly.
We could potentially go outside apart. With masks on and socially and distance with each one person.
Yeah, I know. But at the same time, you've got to look at it and go, there's
pull
an element
the line.
Of this.
That, yeah. Toe the line, guys. Like, this is not for you. It's for everyone else. Like, exactly. We understand it is very authoritarian. It isn't, you know, our freedoms do take a hit, but it's for the greater good. And it's like, I mean, I'm libertarian. I have a lot of libertarian leanings, but I understand the importance of, I also don't want to cause anyone else's death.
Yes.
This is one of the things I remember seeing my friend from YouTube, Christian from Kangaroo English, and he got COVID early on and did a video about it. And he's like, the biggest fear I have is that I've given this to someone and they die from it.
Mm.
And how- the fact that I am never going to know is a blessing and a curse.
Yes.
Because what do you do if you do know and you find out someone died?
I know.
But and you don't know and you never find out whether positive or negative. But that's one of the things for me. It's like, you know, imagine if I gave it to my grandparents. I think based on their ages, they're both, what, one's 90, the other one's 89. Mm. Combined, if they both got COVID, there's a 30% chance one of them dies.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, it is one of those things where it's like, yeah, it's not fun, it's not fair, but it's for the greater good. So, look at it in that light.
Yeah, and I think, look, it's people can look at it and say, oh, well, you know, you're fining these people and so on. Clearly, the fines don't make any difference to a few people who just sort of, well, I'm going to do this anyway. And I don't know about this particular person, but there have certainly been some people who are deliberately and provocatively breaking it because they're all, you know, you can't tell me to wear a mask. You can't tell me I'm not allowed to drive into New South Wales and those sort of things. I am... and I very rarely say this because I'm much more of a sort of social pragmatist, not in the libertarian thing, but this person should just be put to jail. You know, send them to jail for a month. Send them to jail for as long as every person down the chain has to be quarantined.
Yeah.
You know, these are two people that are now going to spend 2 weeks of their lives completely isolated from everybody else. This person just should go to jail. You've broken the law. This isn't,
whether or not it's fair, those were the rules.
Exactly. You
knew
the choice.
The rules.
And it's like people are saying, oh, but, you know, I've had arguments from people saying, well, I know I don't have it. And I say, you don't actually know you don't have it. You knew last time you were tested that you didn't have it. But
I feel
that
fine.
That could have been yesterday. Yeah. But
this guy that walked past could have just sneezed in your face.
Exactly. So, firstly, you don't know that you don't have it. But I'm doing all the right things. No argument with that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still the law. And the law is the law. I know, absolutely know, that I can drive my car safely on a freeway at 160 kilometres an hour. I'm not allowed to, for good reason. And that is because I don't know that what some other idiot is going to do. And therefore, the law says I can drive at 100 or 110 on a freeway, depending on where the freeway is. It's got nothing to do with my self-assessment of whether I'm able to deal with this. It's the law. And so, people, if I drive at 160 kilometres an hour continuously, they'll lock me up.
It's ironic, though, that you wouldn't have those kinds of people who are saying, I'm not going to wear a mask, screw you, you know, and then they get fined. You can't imagine having them in that situation with the same argument of, I'll drive at 160 k's an hour, screw you, you know. Yeah, like,
I know.
They would be like, oh, well, that's endangering other people.
I know. Well,
but it's more obvious,
when
I guess,
compulsory seatbelt wearing, and Australia was the first country in the world to introduce compulsory seatbelts. Victoria was the first place in the world to do it.
When was this?
45 years ago?
70s.
There are a whole lot of people saying, you can't tell me what to do.
Yeah.
You know, all I'm affecting is my own safety.
It's like, no, you could be a flying projectile through
the
front of your car.
And not only that, but if you get injured, you're going to hospital and public healthcare is paying for you to get better. And that could be tens, hundreds of thousands of dollars, depending on the severity of your injury.
As a libertarian, I don't even know if I want to call myself that anymore, but as someone who has libertarian leanings, depending on the topic, I can understand the arguments, right, from where that I understand the position of, I don't like the fact that the government can suddenly tell me what piece of clothing I need to wear or not wear effectively. Yeah. A mask. Yeah. I have to cover my face in public. I can't see my loved ones. And there are some disturbing images of, you know, I remember ABC was playing for ages this image of, I want to see my mum.
Yeah.
And it's this woman at the front of a nursing home where she can't see a dying mother. And yeah, so there are, there are these, on the individual level, it's really feels draconian and, you know, frightening. But at the same time, it's kind of like, unfortunately, the suffering and the pain that these individuals that we see on TV are experiencing gets exponentially broader and affects a lot more of us if we don't adhere to this. So, I think with these, it is interesting that this pandemic is kind of testing the governments of the world all simultaneously. So, it's going to be interesting to see how dictatorships deal with it, how places like China deal with it versus the US deal with it. Because, you know, you would say America's so free and China's such a, you know, authoritarian dictatorship. But at the same time, it's kind of like, at least based on the numbers that we have, there seems to have been a great fewer deaths in China than there have been in the US.
Yes.
So, that's what freedom potentially gets you.
But, yeah, do you want to be welded into your
that's into your building. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing too. But I think it's going to be interesting to see how much our governments learn from this when we get to do a post-mortem and see what was effective, what wasn't. Because, and I got this from Jordan Peterson a lot, we need the right and the left. You need the people who are conservative and the progressives. You need socialism or communism, you know, ideals, and you need libertarian ones where you should be able to move between them in a fluid state, right? Where when things are going well, you want to press as hard to the libertarian side of things as possible so people are free to do whatever they want that's not harming others. But then when you're in a crisis, you need everyone to kind of toe the line and be acting together in order to get through the crisis so that you can all be free again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's that, you know, we were talking earlier about the these sort of things come from getting people together to have a shared understanding and a shared way forward. They don't come from necessarily come from a government saying, we know best, we will tell you what to do, which unfortunately is what has to happen in the immediate crisis. The immediate crisis, you can't afford, well, we're going to spend 2 or 3 weeks sitting around getting all the people that we think are involved to try and work out what to do. They have to go, right, we're just shutting this down and now we'll work through it. And funnily enough, they get a lot of those people together and I think we've done pretty well in Australia in comparison. We had a couple of screw-ups in Victoria that meant we've had far more cases than anybody else. But we've dropped it rapidly. Australia is the only major country in the world now that the number of COVID cases is dropping on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
Almost every other one that just allowed people to go back to close to normal is increasing again.
The thing that frightens me is the number of people who don't die from this and the ongoing effects. We were talking about this recently.
COVID now. Yeah.
Where more than half now, the majority of people who suffer from COVID but quote unquote heal up from it, you know, recover from it, don't have the virus active in them anymore, suffer disgusting, you know, horrible, atrocious side effects or symptoms for months at a time.
And we don't know what the long-term effects are. These are just medium-term effects.
Where there's things like lung damage, heart damage, kidney damage. There's mental issues as well, where people say they've been in a fog for 3 months after the fact. So, that's the thing. We have somewhere like Sweden, where I think they've done, weirdly enough, as you know, one of the most socialist Western societies has decided to be one of the most libertarian in this extent, which is like, let the virus have at it. We're not closing down the economy.
Yeah, they went on the
let's just get herd immunity. So, we'll get as many people infected as quickly as possible so that, you know, the virus dies out, burns out fast, right? You've set a forest on fire and just gone. But what is it going to happen when you find out that, okay, it worked? You did have a significant number of deaths. But everyone did get COVID, but as a result of everyone getting COVID,
has chronic illness.
Yeah, exactly. So,
That was one of those. Yeah, in hindsight, and I'm sure there were there was plenty of medical advice going around at the time saying that this herd immunity approach that Sweden took was a bad idea, not because they knew it was a bad idea, but because we didn't know anything about this virus.
Yes.
It was not like a typical variation of the flu where there are very few, the only ongoing thing in the flu is you die.
Yeah.
And lots of people die of the flu.
From pneumonia, right?
But there weren't any known things. So, you could say, look, yeah, we're just going to get herd immunity to this. Yes, we know people are going to die, but the best thing we can do is to get herd immunity so that the thing just disappears.
Yeah.
In our country, it doesn't matter whether we get people coming in with it, our country is going to effectively be immune. But they didn't know what the medium to long-term effects are.
So. Well, and imagine being in that position too. Yeah. I kept thinking, like, well, what do you do though? You're a leader and you have to make a decision. Yeah. You know, what are you going to do? Here are the facts.
Yep.
Hindsight's 20/20, but at the moment, we know nothing of what's going to happen.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
The irony is, I think Sweden's economy has just gone down the toilet with everybody else's because they're so reliant on the European community and most of the other European countries have shut down. So,
yeah. Oh, anyway. My God. This is... I can't wait to some extent. Like, there's this in the American election where it's like...
the middle of next year, how are we going to reevaluate?
Not even the election, but I would just love to see the documentaries that are made about this current period in time in terms of both the political stuff that's going on in the US and COVID.
Because 2020, the year that was.
Jesus.
You know, can you imagine what that's going to involve?
Oh, I've seen all those memes. It's like, can we just call next year 2020?
Yeah.
Just start again. It's like, don't jinx it. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us. Me and Noah, he's here as well, smacking the microphone with his spoon. That was another episode of The Goss. Don't forget, guys, if you want to get access to all of The Goss episodes, the transcripts, the MP3s, the videos, the entire episodes from 1 to, I think we're up to like 40-something now. Yeah, that's it, mate. Just go to aussieenglish.com.au and you can sign up for those. Anyway, I'm Pete, your host. This has been another Aussie English episode. It's a pleasure. And I'll see you soon.